Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
23,876. Many of them up on their feet, hoping to see Posse put this one in the bag. Santana, book it. Posse gets his 14th save. The Astros threaten with two singles here in the ninth, but he slams the door on their knuckles and denies them a sweep.
SGA on the drive, pulls back, jump shot, got it. Chase Splendor on full display here in game two. They only lost two in a row twice in the regular season. They have yet to lose back-to-back games in this playoff run. The NBA Finals are tied at one game apiece.
The Texans are bringing in veteran running back Nick Chubb for a visit on Monday. And I'm told as long as he passes his physical, he'll be signed to a contract. So I expect this to happen. It's probably going to be a one-year contract. I don't expect it to be that expensive.
This is Cleveland Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan.
Audio courtesy of Guardians TV, ABC, and KPRC in Houston. Good morning.
Morning, Kenny.
Are you going to root for Nick Chubb in Houston?
Yeah, probably. Why not?
I don't know. I'm torn. I want to root for Nick, but man, I really don't like the Texans.
Yeah, but I like C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, me too.
So you like the quarterback and the running back, but you don't like them?
Yeah. I think that's always a thing.
Are there a lot of teams that fit that example?
No, there isn't.
But you hate their coach, right?
DeMeco Ryan?
Yeah.
Why do I hate him?
Exactly. So I don't hate him. The coach, the running back, and the quarterback.
Honestly, it's like, I don't like looking at them like they're like a model franchise.
We all know why you hate them. It's the same reason that a lot of people hate them.
Tell me why.
She got grifted.
Bingo. Thank you very much. Yep, that's why. And it's like, and then the owner's wife was like, thanks for the picks. I'm like, you guys want to go back over some of the fine print? Some of that stuff that was going down there? We want to do this? Hold on there. But then I'm like, I got my own problems I got to worry about. And now Nick is, it looks like according to Aaron Wilson, who was on KPRC, that's a clip we played for you there. Nick Chubb is going to be headed to Houston. You asked me how I felt about it, and I said I'd kind of gotten myself ready during draft weekend that he wasn't going to be here. That said, it still sucks. I mean, there were definitely people who were saying, like, hey, we want to bring him back, we want to bring him back, we want to bring him back. I knew that there were some other teams that were interested, obviously, but if he's going to Houston, you know, I don't want to – it's hard. It's hard for me to root for him down in Houston, but it's better than him playing for the Steelers or anywhere else. I'm still trying to process it emotionally because I'm thinking, how many more years does he have? If he has one more year and that year is with the Houston Texans, then – if they don't, like, win the Super Bowl, then he's ours. It kind of feels like he's ours forever. There is a there's like a part of the family type of thing that you have with a player over that time. And then I think about, well, do I get mad at the Browns? Do I get mad at that? Is this the best football decision? Is this the best football decision? It's certainly not good for the reaction for the fans. It's not good for customer service, no doubt about it. But is it the best football decision?
Well, from a football perspective, I mean, he had just had by far his worst year ever, and then he got injured again.
And then he got injured again.
So there's not a lot of actual, for the building of the new Cleveland Browns, for their rebuild that they're in the middle of, or really just starting.
But that's the thing is I can get mad because they're not rebuilding. They've doubled down with Myles Garrett. You know, Joel Bitonio's back. You had chances to kind of liquidate assets in so many ways. You didn't do that. So if they're not a part of a rebuild, is this just normal? Hey, we don't think he's that great anymore, and that's it.
That's
something they're going to have to gamble with because they've gambled on that type of thing before and they've lost.
It's interesting phrasing because, like, you're right. They're still hanging on, you know, by a thread here with the guys that are aging. But to me, the rebuild has started. Like, they've got one foot in, one foot out.
Which that's not the way. Probably not the way to do it.
It's not. It's not, and it's a bizarre set of circumstances that I do think the cap has something to do with it too. Like, they're just in the middle. They're in the middle of this thing, but like, everybody expects them to be really bad. So that's normally when we associate a rebuild, right? Is with,
you would think,
you know, leveling off. You're pivoting from who your core is, because Bitonio, Conklin, Teller, they're not really a part of your core.
But it feels like you're giving them an out, and I don't like that. And I don't think you're trying to make excuses for them, but when you say, well, it's the rebuild, then why did you keep Myles Garrett? I mean, you had every opportunity. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about the dead cap space when people say, well, the dead cap. No, if you wanted to really rebuild, you would have gotten two first-round picks for Myles Garrett, and then everything would have been fine. If you were to trade Myles Garrett and then Nick Chubb ends up with the Houston Texans, like, oh, okay, like, yeah, this is all. Add it to the list of all the things that are going on. But you brought back Myles Garrett. You've kept your veterans. You did not move on from all the other names that we talked. Greg Newsom still plays for the Cleveland Browns, does he not? Like, there's guys that you've kept, and you're trying to win football games because you are 6 years into this regime with Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski. And then Nick Chubb goes, just admit you don't think he's very good at football anymore. Not you, them. Just admit you don't think he's very good at football anymore, or you would have kept him. So if you don't think he's very good at football anymore, there's plenty of teams that let guys go that don't think they're very good at football. Okay. But just let's call that what it is instead of, well, this is the rebuild. No, it's not the rebuild. If it was a real rebuild, they would have told you right up front, like a lot of teams do. So it's going to be a gamble, because I think a lot of people, and this is my fear, this is my true fear, is I'm excited about Quinshon Judkins. I'm excited about that young man. I'm excited about the possibilities of Dylan Sampson, who is their fourth round choice this year. You know, Jerome Ford, he's a fine enough player. I think that he's gotten a bad name a little bit just because his name's not Nick Chubb over these last few years.
It's kind of a feast or famine running back, right?
Yeah, I mean, because he doesn't look fast. He's one of the fastest guys in the NFL. When he reaches top speed, it's unbelievable. Those guys got to be good, because if those guys ain't good, you're going to be very upset, because I think that he'll have some sort of, do you believe that he'll have a good year, some sort of a resurgence? It can't be. He's got to be better than what he was last year.
You've had more time to rehabilitate. Because he's a year older and coming off an injury.
I don't have very
big expectations for him at all.
But when he hurt
at this point, which I think the Browns kind of agreed with that sentiment.
True. But when he broke his foot, many were saying this is a broken foot. Yeah, it's serious now, but it shouldn't have any long-term effects. A broken bone's a broken bone. So that's serious now, but it shouldn't have any long-term effects. The knee was still the issue there, where those were the long-term effects you're coming from. I mean, we're going into 2 years now with Nick after the knee injury. So I think a lot of people are thinking, I don't know if it's going to be 1,100 yards on the ground and all this, that, and the other. But I also know that it should be better than what it was last year. And I think a lot of people are going, well, they let Kareem Hunt walk, and then he was putting up 100 yards on Sunday Night Football last time we saw him. And what, did he play in the Super Bowl or did he not play in the Super Bowl?
He did.
He did play in the Super Bowl. So there you go. And if Nick becomes that guy, oh God, heaven help us. Heaven help us. So that's the risk. But I'm not going to subscribe to, well, it's the rebuild. Mm-mm. You are what you say you are, and you've signed Nick Chubb for an extension, or you've signed Myles Garrett for an extension, and I've gone down that list before.
So you don't think, even in hearing Andrew Berry last week on that podcast, we played it on Friday with him in Jacksonville, and he talked about their horizon, their timeline. I mean, it kind of sounded like to me like they've started the rebuild.
No, I think
they didn't do it all in 1 year. Like they didn't clean house and try to tank. But they do have two first round picks next year anyway, in a year where everybody assumes they're going to be one of the worst teams in football. Doesn't that to you sound like the start of a rebuild?
I think that sounds a lot like a bunch of excuses. Because if you were to rebuild,
Well, wait, do you expect them to win a bunch of games this year?
No.
Yeah.
But when you say rebuild, it just sounds to me like, does it not sound like an excuse when people hear rebuild? Like, well, it's part of the rebuild. Rebuild what? You went to the playoffs twice in 6 years, which is nice for, you know, considering the history. But what are we rebuilding?
But we all agree they missed the window, right? So
yeah.
If you miss the window, with all the guys that, you know, helped propel the first playoff run for sure. Mm-hmm. The window that we had talked about, where that's why you're bringing in Deshaun Watson. You're bringing in Deshaun Watson because you wanted to take a huge swing, this massive swing at quarterback for a team that was loaded. Right?
Yeah.
We don't think this team's that loaded anymore. No. We got Pro Football Focus thinks you have the worst roster in the league.
Yeah.
We pushed back about that.
Yes, we did.
But what else is that?
But I would push back and say, then what are you still doing here? There's other guys.
You're talking
in the
to
league.
Somebody who is definitely.
You see what I mean? I don't want to fight you over what the things we have problems with what they've done with. You get what I'm saying? Like, I could see where this was starting to turn into me getting red-faced with you and you getting red-faced with me and being exasperated with each other. I'm not planning on doing that, at least not right now. I am not ripping you for calling it a rebuild. I imagine, 216-474-0092, I imagine a lot of the people agree with you. I'm just not going to do that. Rebuilding teams don't re-sign or don't extend they're great big defensive ends. Rebuilding teams don't have two first-round picks coming up with the quarterback, where they usually do, but they don't take two quarterbacks in the third and fifth round like they did over this last year. Rebuilding teams don't have 12-year guards coming back.
What you're really saying is,
rebuilding teams don't extend it all the way out with Greg Newsom or Denzel Ward or any of the other names
that we talked
about.
What you're really saying is a rebuilding team doesn't bring back a GM and a coach after 3-14.
That's also true, yes. Yeah. So they can't call it a rebuild because it's not. It's not a full-on rebuild.
So what is it? What is this year? I mean, we kind of stumbled into that last week, at the end of last week, and I didn't really hear a good answer from anybody
I don't think anybody has a good answer for it. What is the good answer? It's about winning as many games as possible to what? To extend it? That's all you're trying to do. It's just basically it's a giant credit card. You're trying to meet the minimum balance, or you're trying to meet the minimum payment on it. So what's the minimum payment to stay employed? I said seven wins would probably keep Kevin Stefanski. I don't know about Andrew Berry because I can't guarantee you that it's a package deal. Remember, Kevin was here before Andrew. It probably feels like a package deal to a lot of people, but I'm not so sure about that. So this Nick Chubb stuff brings up a lot of questions about what they're going to do or what they're doing right now, what their plan is. And I don't know if they have one.
It's also part of the reason why I think it's really easy to root for Nick Chubb, even though he's in the AFC. Even though he's at a team that took advantage of you, or certainly looks like they have won one of the most lopsided trades in, you know, NFL history. Yeah. Some have said sports history.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like it's still easy. Like, they didn't turn to a rival, even though we played them in the playoffs. Didn't really feel like that was the start of a rivalry with Houston, did it?
No. I think that...
Especially because we're expected to be bad and they're expected to be good.
Yeah. And the more I think about it, the more I'm going, okay, like, I guess I could see their plan, but it's a very convoluted plan. It's like, win just enough to stay around, and then next year find your quarterback and somehow stay around and continue to build the team, even though that, you know, you're 3-14 coming off this last year. And I think fan sentiment was almost at an all-time low this last year. Engagement, excitement, all those things were at an all-time low last season. And you're trying to build for something in the future. That's why I've been so excited about the whole Shedeur Sanders conversation. At least it's, to me, it's fun compared to the things we've been talking about over the last 3 years. And now this is one of I forgot. Nick's great. And now we got to let Nick go. And if they don't think that Nick's good anymore or good enough anymore, fine. That's fine. They know him better than I do. And I know that you've asked me about this, and it's hard for me to admit that he didn't look anywhere near like the type of running back that we have seen in the past. I think it's hard for a lot of fans to admit these things. These are some tough truths that we have to see with each other here. And I don't know if the franchise is seeing the truth for what it is right now, based on the decisions they've made for the now and for the future. And I think they are trying to thread a very, 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 very small hole in the needle of how they can all stay and keep the messaging the same way moving forward and also win games and not have to lose anybody out of the process. I think it's an extremely difficult thing they're going to try to do. And more than likely, it ain't going to go their way. And more than likely, we're talking about new people getting ready for 2026. Nick is not the nail in the coffin, but he's one of the folks that I think that people will go back to, especially if he shows anything with the Houston Texans. But I think what a fan has to ask themselves are, do they think that Nick Chubb still has great, great football ahead of him where they didn't have to take a Quinshon Judkins or a Dylan Sampson in this last draft? And no, I don't think so. So it's a hard thing to admit. And I think a lot of fans are going, well, now you let go of one of our fan favorites, a beloved player here. I mean, he's the best since Jim Brown to do it. 38 years I've been watching this. He's the best running back I've ever seen in a Browns uniform, bar none. I see the highlights. It makes me wish I would have enjoyed the highlights more. Some of the incredible runs, some of the incredible things he did, the stiff arm where he basically would have used Micah Fitzpatrick's head as a basketball once against the Steelers, the whole Eagles thing where he was basically forearming everybody, all that game. I mean, there was a lot of great stuff that Nick Chubb did for this football team. And it's like, we were trying to climb out of the gutter. We're trying to win these games. It's a tough season in 2020 with everything else going on. It's like, man, I wish I would have smelled the roses a little bit more with him. Because what we saw was greatness. His time in Cleveland was absolute greatness. And now that time has come to an end. If they win a Super Bowl, that's a sticky situation. Go ahead and ask Saquon Barkley and Giants fans about that one. But if they don't win the Super Bowl, then I feel he's kind of ours. But if they do win a Super Bowl and he's a big part of it, look out. Look out. Because if they're a really competitive team and he's a big part of it, look out for the front office anyway. Because it's another thing where, hey, you didn't win enough this year, and we got another guy going somewhere else who's proven that he had football left.
I mean, I just wonder, after last year, seeing how much of a shell he was of himself last year, do fans sit there and they see some of the reporting where it was like, you know, they had talked to the Browns. The Browns just didn't seem very interested. How upset?
Oh, I thought that they were. I thought that they were. I think there were definitely people in the building who have a lot of power in the building who really did want him to come back. Yes. I know that for a fact.
But he's not back because...
I think there's two things. I think one, they're probably thinking his best football is behind him. And that's why they made the decisions they did in the draft. And number two, I think that Nick, in so many ways, was probably a little bit tired of the hoping instead of just, hey, I only got so many years left. I'm out here, have 1 year left. I'm going to go to a team that's a contender. And I'm sorry, this is just going to be the way it is. Because you and I can side-eye Chicago all we want. They expect to be contenders over there this year. 216-474-0092. Nobody needs to side-eye the Houston Texans. Everybody knows that they certainly intend to be contenders this year. So you're going to root for Nick in Houston? I think that there's another question here. What's this mean for our franchise and whether or not this is a rebuild or everything?
Maybe they're not rebuilding. They're more remodeling. They're trying to do it quickly with the pieces that they have, get the two first-round picks, and flip it around real quick. They're redoing the kitchen.
That's still a massive rebuild. Unless you go to Northeast Factory Direct for your kitchen cabinets, then you're going to get 50, 60, 70% off. Okay, I'm done. That's Nick in Atlanta.
I redid my kitchen recently. It took longer than a day.
It took a long time. But you did a very nice job. Lyman and I were in there. It was a hell of a kitchen.
Blown
was it
away.
Not? Yeah. It was like, you got, everything was perfect. Everything was perfect. I wanted to call it like, but it was white, so it wasn't rustic. I'm not a designer. I'm not an architect.
Farm.
You got it.
Farmhouse.
Yeah. That's very good. That's very big now. It's a wonderful kitchen. Right now, the Browns kitchen isn't that wonderful because I don't know what they're.
It's outhouse.
I don't know what this plan, very well done. I don't know if this plan, whatever it is actually, like you said, rebuild. I don't know. Does a rebuilding team do the things they did with Myles Garrett and making sure that Joel Bitonio returns and all the other stuff? Is it there now? He's got a contract. I'm sure he can decide whether or not he wants to come back or not. But there's just a lot of things with a rebuilding team that they're not doing. So that's it. And when it comes to Nick.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chubb, I think I might just have to admit that this is going to take some faith. Does he? They don't deserve any, but they don't believe that he's good enough to play football for them anymore. And so they let him test it, because I think if they needed to have it, they would have made sure everything they brought him back. This team has never been shy to pay people money. But there's definitely people making football decisions in there that believe that he's just not worth it for what they want to plan for the future. All right, that's going to be a tremendous gamble. Because if your offense is still dead last in the league like it was last year, and he's doing anything with Houston, well, you're going to hear about it. And you are going to hear about it not just on Browns Mondays. You are going to hear about it every single damn day. Because that's a pretty good football team down there. And if he's able to help out C.J. Stroud and all that stuff, heaven help us. But you asked me a very tough question to answer. Did I think he was going to be great this year? And my answer was, I can't say yes, no. So what do I do? Well, I'm just a fan. I wanted to bring him back. I wanted to bring him back any way possible. But if one, he doesn't really want to seem to be here in so many ways, because he has 1 year, he's a free agent, he has maybe 1 year left. He wants to be a part of a team that's winning, that's known to be a guaranteed competitive team by the beginning of the season. Okay. And two, yeah, I'm an emotional person about this stuff. It's hard for me to look past it. It's hard for me to make that cold decision on your best football is behind you. It's best for us to move on. It's tough.
Do we think, because we've seen some of the reporting about whether or not, I know you had talked about they are trying to make inroads. They are trying to make this happen, but where it eventually fell apart, like, is it the money? Is it the fact that he doesn't think the Browns are going to be good this year? Is it the fact that Browns don't think he's going to be good this year?
Probably all, like, three,
how,
to some level.
How far apart? Was it just paying lip service? Did both sides just want to make it seem like they were being really nice about it when behind the scenes it might not have been all that nice?
I think we'll find out more as time goes on. I know that, you know, I think Nick likes the fans, and I know, again, there's people in high positions there who definitely wanted Nick Chubb to be coming back. Joe and Avon, you're next up on the Fan. Hello.
Good morning. How are you guys doing? Minus Nick not being with us anymore.
Getting by. Go right on ahead, Joe. Thank you very much.
Well, 48 years I've been with this team, and definitely a roller coaster ride. But for me, I will be with them always. But when they said they didn't want Baker because they wanted an adult in the room, and their adult in the room was Deshaun Watson, their credibility is trash. I'm emotional. I wear it on my sleeve. I understand, you know, Chubb not being with them. I want him to do great this year. I want him to succeed. I don't want the Texans to succeed. And it hurts because that guy did everything right. 2018, the draft of Baker, Denzel, and him was incredible. And it's a shame it can't be continued.
Yeah, if we can't win, and Joe, thank you very much for the call. I think Joe feels the same. I think a lot of people feel the same way Joe does. If we can't win, we're going to hold on to these players that have exemplified what greatness is. Joe Thomas, people love Joe Thomas. The team was terrible. Nick Chubb was not a part of the second playoff run, unfortunately, because of the injury. He was definitely a big part of the 2020 playoff run. If we're not going to be good consistently, like, we like guys who stand out and they're just Teflon to the bad decisions the organization makes. I mean, when Joe Thomas first got drafted, it was like the only good decision that organization made, and then they went on to make bad decisions for the next decade, and it's almost feeling the same way with Nick. It's like, all right, Baker's a goofball. We need an adult in the room. You brought in Deshaun Watson. Then Baker goes on and does other good things. You've made mistakes in free agencies. You've made mistakes in the draft. Nick is here. Nick is great. Like, we hold on to the players more because that's what gives us the chance to kind of look back to the way the team used to be way before 1999. 216-474-0092. We'll get back to this coming up at 7 o'clock. I want to play this audio for you guys because we're going to get into this later as well. And we got to get into it right now. Chris Fedor was on over the weekend on with Earl the Pearl and Spencer German. And he, this is some strong commentary here from Chris about Darius Garland.
I keep coming back to the same thing. Guys, I keep coming back to Darius has to go. Like, if you're going to reimagine the offense, if you're going to reconfigure the roster, and if you're going to reset your salary cap situation, this is a top-heavy team. This is a top-heavy roster. This is a team that is going to get really, really expensive as we continue to move forward. But if you're trying to accomplish all three of those things in one off season, there is one move that allows you to do that, and it's trading Darius. And it comes with this caveat, right? The package that they would be offered for Darius would have to be one that I would say yes to. It would have to be one that they would say yes to. And it would have to be one that I believe would make them a better basketball team and increase their chances of taking the next step as an organization and competing for a championship.
Did Chris say that about Darius last year?
Not to that level.
Okay. There's a reason I asked that question, but you go ahead with your thoughts on what you just said.
Yeah, I was surprised. I was surprised to hear that great, as usual, by the way, great weekend programming here at 923 The Fan. Want to make that abundantly clear.
Earl and Spencer are great. So and so is Daryl and Nick.
Yeah, if you're not listening to the weekends, I know a lot of stations, they just go national all weekends. We have great local programming. I was surprised to hear it. Like, that hit my phone, and the aggregators around the NBA have picked up these comments, and they have combined that with some other stuff that's been said, stuff that Brian Windhorst has said. So you have a bunch of people that are pretty dialed into the Cavs situation talking about Darius Garland in a way that I have not heard them ever. Remember, he's basically started every game since being drafted by the Cavs.
If he's willing to say that on the radio, because he wasn't willing to go that far last year, if Chris is willing to say that on the radio, then I have to think that they're shopping him, without a doubt.
Doesn't it seem like there's look, I'm not oblivious. I know that there are people that write stuff to generate headlines and to get aggregated intentionally because that's part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But the stuff I'm seeing on Darius Garland, there seems to be real credibility here that I don't think you tend to get with just a bunch of the NBA rumor mill.
No. I the first time, let me repeat it, he didn't say it last year. A lot of people wanted to get rid of him last year. Then he got signed. If he's willing to say that on the radio, that to me tells me that they are actively shopping him. Because if he knew that they weren't, I don't think he'd say that. I really don't think he would do that. To hear that, now, my issue is, what are you going to get in return? Because I keep seeing the Jalen Suggs stuff. It's going to be a tough sell for me when it comes to, like, Jalen Suggs. It's going to be a tough sell for me with a lot of guys. Because, I mean, you're talking about a two-time All-Star there who's only 25 years old. And if you get rid of him for any of the names or any of the like names that we've talked about here over the last couple of weeks, that's not going to be a very good sales pitch for a guy like me.
Well, they're in a tough spot.
I enjoy him.
They're in a tough spot because Darius was fantastic for most of the season. He had bounced back in a big way from his season from hell.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, the playoffs, he is a big unknown. And, you know, he's been here long enough, and unfortunately there's zero track record in the playoffs for him. And as we're watching two teams last night, if you were watching the NBA Finals, like, there are guys that are on paper way worse than Darius Garland who are playing way better in bigger moments than Darius is and make way less money than Darius does. So it's just something to file away. Like, Darius has a big contract and is not meeting those expectations come playoff time, despite how good he was in last year's regular season.
Does Lima like?
Or does Lima no like?
Like?
chummy likey.
I'm liking it.
I like it a lot.
No like.
He doesn't like you.
I don't like you either.
You're tacky and I hate you.
Like or no like. No like or no like.
But I definitely knew what I liked, and I definitely knew what I didn't like.
We're just talking off the air before we get to this. And Owen was at the ballpark over the weekend, and he was mentioning, you know, what the crowds were like. And yesterday was a little bit less compared to the big Friday and Saturdays. And I think the forecast too.
It rained up until.
But they made it sound like there was going to be thunderstorms and rain blanketing the region, and it didn't seem to be that at all.
It's been that for the last 2 weeks. If you look, I've had to pay attention to the weather.
I know, but Owen said something interesting. He's like, oh, his kid was, you know, not annoyed, but like.
A little disappointed.
Disappointed that Altuve wasn't in there. And I go, really? Altuve? And then Ken.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout. No reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Because, yeah, Hall of Famer. I'm just like, yeah, he's had an amazing career. He's been incredible. I didn't know that he had reached the status of a younger person was.
Well, part of that, too.
Disappointed they didn't see him.
Now, admittedly, he did go, who do they have? And I go, well, Altuve's Hall of Famer. He's like, oh, I've heard of him. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That was it. And then he wasn't in the lineup. And
Hall
then,
of Famer. That'd be upsetting. But
he got the great boo on Saturday.
So, yeah, overall.
Lima no like.
You know, it stinks. They dropped 2 out of 3 in this series. And it seems like every game, it has just been. Luckily, they won yesterday. It has just been really hard for this team to put up any kind of a big inning, a big game, you know, run-wise at the plate. They just have not been able to do it. Look at all their games recently. They've all been under 4, under 5. Like, there's been no explosions. They've kind of just been situated here. And now, you know, you blink and they're 7.5 games back. They're in third place in the division. It's just kind of a rough go at it recently. They just have not been able to find anything in terms of offense.
It's been famine as much as it gets. I think that. Do you think Steven Vogt's a little panicky right now with some of the moves that he's made? That pinch hit the other night where Framil Reyes was batting, what, 150 going in and even less against lefties.
And even John Kinsey Noel.
Did I say Framil Reyes? I'm sorry.
They're essentially the same player.
You know what? No. You know why it happened? Is I swear to God, yesterday after the game, Class A closed it out. They came back from break, and you see these. Like, they had to be a couple or brother and sister, one of the two. I'm not sure. Which is there's a big difference there. One was wearing a Miles Straw jersey, and one was wearing a Framil Reyes jersey. And then I started thinking about what Framil Reyes is up to. And I messed it up, so I'm sorry. John Kenzie Noel is hitting
not
even
in
less.
Major League Baseball right now.
He's hitting even less. Well, he's definitely not hitting as well against lefties. But John Kenzie Noel, he hitting even worse against lefties. I'm like, man, this is a rough thing to do to bring this guy in here at this juncture in this game.
Yeah, speaking of.
Lima no likes.
Mentioned Noel. It is amazing how, and again, there's a thousand reasons why baseball is just different from the other sports. Somebody who had such a big moment last year in the postseason and now gets optioned down to try to figure things out. It is really the most frustrating sport because you just don't know. It is so unpredictable what kind of guys are going to have staying power in this league. You know, there's just so few and far between guys like Jose Ramirez.
Did Oscar Gonzalez end up, is he in Korea now?
I think he might be
in Korea seeing what opportunities there are there, and he was a postseason hero
just
for everybody.
Just that somebody could be such a hero.
Yeah.
And we are not even to July. We're not even in the dog days yet, and they're trying to figure things out as he gets sent down. So That's just, it makes it, it's why baseball is so hard to really project, to really talk about in comparisons to the other sports.
Yeah.
Because you just know what you're getting out of so many guys in the other sports that you just have no idea in baseball, how temperamental things can be. So it's rough. They got to get going here. They got to get going here. Especially, we did get maybe some better news.
I'm alive.
When it comes to Shane Bieber, because, boy, the way the reporting came out and just the tenor of the news surrounding Bieber at this time last week or later in last week, thought it was going to be done for. Now they're just like, delayed everything about a week. So,
thank God.
Yeah, thank God is right, because I was reading tea leaves last week, and maybe that's what's
got...
Why
talk to the surgeon, then?
Well, it's what got me into trouble to begin with. So hopefully, we can get him back and better than ever.
I'm alive.
Hey, I got to watch one of the final NBA games of the year last night. However...
Lima no likes.
It was not good, and I'm worried this could be the rest of the series, because it was not good for Indiana. They found themselves down again, which was a familiar refrain, but you kept wondering, when can I just go to bed with an Indiana Pacers game now?
I saw that last night, and then I woke up this morning, I saw the responses on social media to the game, and the Thunder, and it's like, oh gosh, you guys already think you won the championship. Did they unlock something there with Indiana where it's like, okay, now you're really done, and then now that's the end of it? Because they did look different, I grant you that, but I think a lot of us were waiting for this comeback from Oklahoma or from Indiana last night that didn't happen, and now it feels to everybody, okay, now they're back on track, they're going to go and they're going to win this game, win the series in five. So I want to see what it is going back to Indiana, which is hell on earth to play basketball, and according to Mitch, so.
Having no likes.
And apparently... there's a lot of people that do not like the NBA Finals. Lowest ratings from Game 1 despite the heroics and the amazing all-time finish. They had the worst Game 1 numbers since the league's COVID-19 downturn, according to this headline in Yahoo. A 4.7 rating and 8.9 million viewers. That is not good. Not good at all. And I imagine Game 2, even though it was Sunday early at 8, I'm guessing it wasn't that good yesterday.
I wonder how
either.
Many people got bamboozled like I did and staying around because Indy has kept doing the comebacks.
Well, couldn't have been that many if they're only getting that number.
I'm more mad at them about this than them beating the Cavs.
Just because you had to lose sleep. That's fair.
Yes.
That's fair.
They did try something yesterday.
I'm a likes.
They superimposed the finals logo onto the court after all the blowback for not having a special feel for the NBA Finals. So I say Lima likes because at least they tried something, but I don't understand what they can't
go
they,
back. To
they
the
can't,
way it was.
They're the NBA. They just tripled their TV deal. They can't figure out a way to put the actual logo on.
You triple your TV deal, then you go out of your way. And this is, you know what? Credit where it's due. Mitch brought this up, and I totally agree with him. Is I thought the fans made it a big deal in Oklahoma City, but it's like, okay, fans are fans. Like you can do that in the second round of the Western Conference playoffs. You need to have the script, cursive, the finals on the floor. Show everybody that it's the extra thing. It's
they did
big
more for the
issue.
Think about it. They do way more for the in-season tournament now to differentiate
what
the basketball is. They try to make that look special with the courts, but the
right.
NBA Finals just looks like game 13 of the season on a Tuesday night.
Yeah. Remember when they used to put the big Larry O'Brien, the whole side
of
the court?
They got a little carried away.
Yeah.
They did get a little carried away
but
back
I'll
then.
I'll still take that because at least you're trying.
But now they're really carried away with the in-season tournament. But right. Like just the script, the cursive, the finals. That's all you need.
And finally,
I'm alive.
A big shout out to my good buddy, my colleague, my coworker, Ken Carman, mopping up and bringing journalism back the way it was intended. Mopping up at the, what were the awards called?
The Cleveland Press Club Awards.
Cleveland,
the Press Club of Cleveland Awards. Thank you very much for noticing.
Loves those awards.
What a distinguished honor. We've got to add it up to the Wall of Fame here, along with Ken's. How many other awards does he have? He wins everything now.
He's got that one from the OHSAA.
That's right.
That you got for me, basically.
That's right. No. Well earned.
You did it to me as a joke.
There's no joking matter, especially when it comes to these.
A decade ago, he handed out a best burger in Cleveland.
I did.
He stopped doing that.
These venerable journalism awards. How do you feel to be you know, really the top sports journalism guy here in not just the city, the state of Ohio.
I'm going to have to try to grow a beard now. I've decided to quit cigars and pick up pipes.
I'll be smoking pipes.
And,
that's good.
I will no longer be using the word ain't, which ain't a word. I'm not allowed to do that anymore now that I'm a big J journalist.
Who are the other heavy hitters that were there at the Cleveland
Baskin
Press
was
Awards?
At our table.
Andy Baskin.
I dined with Baskin.
Nice. A true journalist.
Yes.
In the sense of the word.
Yes.
How was the food?
Nate Ulrich was there. It was fine. Food was fine. Great Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal, Ohio.com and everything.
Were you beefing with anybody there?
No.
You just, you've collected so many enemies.
My buddy Vince Gary.
Nate,
I don't have any enemies. There's people who hate me. I don't hate them. Not in this city. And then there's one in another city who hates me, and I couldn't care less about what he thinks, so it doesn't matter about that.
Well, this is why you gotta shove it in their face now.
What
you're mopping up the journalism awards.
They will go on the wall in the office at home. That's where they will go.
Very good. That's it for Lima Likes.
Outstanding.
Congrats. Congrats to Kenny.
Go stop it. You don't care.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.